is Digital Marketer. Today, Shannon Goodell.
Hello, and welcome to the Digital Marketer Podcast. I'm your co-host, Jenna Snavely, and today I'm really excited. We're talking for the very first time with our social media manager here at Digital Marketer, Shannon Goodell. She's only been with Digital Marketer for about a year and a half, but since then, she's grown our Instagram about 400%. So I'm really excited to have this conversation. We really get into each platform, kind of the overall strategies that we're using right now, the things that are working. But without further ado, here is my interview with Shannon. Shannon, hello, welcome.
Hi, Jenna.
Hello, it's great to be here.
It's awesome to be here. Glad to join you on the DM podcast.
So I'm really excited to talk to you about, one, how much you've changed DM Social just from the start. You recently did an office hours on it. Last year when you came in, we had about 15,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, that was about May 2018.
And then within that time, you've increased it. Now we're like...
we're at like 90,000.
Wow.
90,200.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So yeah, I just love to know like about your background. Where did Shannon Goodell come from?
Oh my gosh.
Well, how'd you get started in this crazy business?
This crazy social world. Oh yeah, it's kind of interesting. So originally I have an English degree from Texas State University. And I was a teacher for 4 years. So I taught 10th grade English. So To Kill a Mockingbird. I read that out loud to 15 and 16 year olds like six times a day. Because that's the only way that they would read it was listening
was
to
listening
me.
Was listening to you read it, yeah.
So I lasted 4 years teaching. And then I decided to go back to Texas State for graduate school with the idea that I wanted to be a sports broadcaster.
Wow.
I know. So crazy. So what ended up happening
was... are you really into sports?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Yeah. So the things I know about Shannon are she likes metal. Is that... would you say that?
Yeah, like hard rock for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, hard rock.
Not really not like the metal. Nonstop screaming.
Yeah.
Appropriate screaming.
Appropriate screaming. Like just dark, moody.
Yeah, dark, moody rock, grunge. Yeah.
Yeah. That you love the movie Jaws.
Yes, Jaws.
But you're terrified of sharks.
That's my number one fear is being killed by a shark.
Oh my God. Not a mockingbird. Oh wait, no. The opposite, to kill a mockingbird. And you love horror in general.
Yes, huge Stephen King fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm also a big sports fan. My dad got me into it growing up. I grew up near San Antonio, so we would go to Spurs games and watch all the games.
So basketball is your sport of choice.
Basketball's my number one, but I also watch a lot of football and baseball too. I love playing fantasy sports, which that's... everyone here has like a little nerd factor to them.
Oh,
a lot
yeah.
of them are Harry Potter or Game of Thrones, and mine is... playing fantasy sports. So yeah, I went back to Texas State. I wanted to be a sports broadcaster and actually did an internship at a local news station in the sports department. During the summer, went to a lot of Round Rock Express games and did a ton of stuff. But I realized, oh, I don't think this is for me because you kind of have to start in Nowhereville for years before you can even move up to a market like Austin, which isn't a big market. And so I was already like 30 years old. So I was like,
this will take forever.
This is going to take forever. And I don't want to move away from Austin. But while I was doing that internship and during grad school, I had a couple of amazing classes. And I had a social media marketing class that started at Texas State. They were kind of the first department to really hone in on that.
Oh.
And then I did like online web design class, and we actually got to go to South by Southwest Interactive and cover it.
Cool.
And blog and do social media for it. And I was like, oh, I love doing this. So that's kind of where I changed directions.
Okay.
And then I worked at like a couple of small startups doing all things social, as well as a bunch of other stuff you do at startups, like email marketing. I got my hands in Google
literally
AdWords.
Five jobs.
And I worked heavily in social at an advertising agency for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I had like at some points like 20 clients, a lot of casinos in Oklahoma.
Wow.
What's
the casino strategy?
It's a lot of pictures of winners.
Yeah.
Like you show winners holding checks. You show like kind of the sounds of the machines.
Yeah.
Get people
get them
excited.
Hyped up. Yeah. That's, you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. That's the secret to casino.
That is the most marketing. Like blatant before and after like transformation you could show like in any, across any like industry. Probably.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like I kind of almost felt a little bad doing it, to be honest, because most people lose.
So yeah. Much. Oh yeah.
And you only focus on like the winners. And it was a lot of promotional stuff. They had, some of them had concerts that we would talk mm-hmm. about. Now looking back on it, that I've learned, it was like too promotional. Like yeah. get this 2-for-1 fish special on Wednesday.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's different working in the agency world. The clients kind of have too much of a say and they're not in the social world. Like they don't study it. They just want to sell type yeah. of situation. So I definitely learned that that's not the best approach. It's all about value.
Yeah. Let's talk about the best approach. So how do you now approach social through like kind of your marketing lens for DM?
Yeah, for DM. So the great thing about DM is when I came in, we already had so much great, valuable content. I mean, our blog is like something that
should
most
be sold.
People gated, yeah, or most people have gated or is sold. It's just like step by step how to implement actual tactics and strategies. So that already gave me a leg up. But I noticed like our audience craves this type of value. We're appealing to entrepreneurs, small business owners, agencies, kind of a very broad audience, but people who want to grow their businesses. And looking at our content and how great it was and strategic for that particular audience, like why aren't we like really honing in on this on social? Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Like why aren't we really putting this content out there, but also giving people like snippets of info, of tips? So my thought was, let's take our content and kind of give it to people in digestible chunks in various forms. Some people like to read things. Some people like to watch things. Some people like to listen. So why not use our content and appeal and relate to the audience in the best way that they learn?
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my thought process. So we like break up our content into these chunks that people can then either dive in for more information or they can just take that with them for their businesses. And our focus is kind of depending on the channel. Facebook, we're really video heavy. We found that that really engages our audience on Facebook the best.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've tried various kind of series that we have on Facebook.
Yeah.
We have our AMAs, that's Ask Me Anything. And so we have experts come in for workshops, for podcasts, and we have experts in-house. And it's like, ask them a series of questions and you film it all at once. So you get literally like 10 to 12 videos in like a 30 to 45 minute stretch.
Yeah.
And we found that these are valuable to our audience. It could be something inspirational, a story about a setback that Ryan Dice had and learned from. And that's very valuable to someone just starting their business, or maybe they're at a crossroads in their business where things aren't going well, or they just had a setback. Maybe they need to hear that day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's kind of our AMA series. And we also have tip videos that we do. And those are usually from our blog posts. And it's a way, some people prefer to watch than to read. So it's a way to get that content to them and the way that they learn the best from it.
Yeah.
And then we just do a variety of things. We take snippets from like TNC, Traffic Conversion Summit, or our workshops, or even office hours. We take those snippets and give people a chunk. And then you can even direct them. Some people want to know more, like, hey, this is where this came from type of thing. So you can use it to drive traffic even. But definitely very video heavy on Facebook.
Yeah.
Found that that has worked. And we have a great video team here. So it's made it really kind of my job easy. But it's always testing, like what's working, what isn't, maybe changing things up. We're trying to launch a series of like whiteboard workshops on Facebook. They'll go on Facebook and YouTube and LinkedIn too. But it's like basically having an expert draw on a whiteboard, but kind of like in a mini chunk of information. So we're trying to get that off the ground. So I think that's going to be like really great for our audience. and successful for us as well. Yes, that's kind of the approach on Facebook is really video heavy.
Yeah.
But it all depends on your brand and audience, mm-hmm. what they find valuable.
So what do you see most brands getting wrong on Instagram?
Oh, on Instagram. Yeah. So Instagram.
Or on Facebook. Anywhere. On,
yeah, anywhere.
On social.
Yeah, on social. I think it's they're creating content about themselves to sell their products or services. Like, we're the best at lawn care or whatever. Right. You're trying to discover an audience on Instagram or Facebook or whatever channel. Do that. No one is looking for you. No one cares that you say you're the best at something or that you have this product. They don't even know they need the product. So our approach has been to focus on our target audience, what's valuable to them, and what inspires them. Mm-hmm. And that's what we base content around. Mm-hmm. And we occasionally sell. I mean, I have done stories before that direct to sales. So that's okay to do. But if that's all you're doing, it really puts people off.
Yeah. So, for example, if you had a promotion for a 2-for-1 fish fry,
yes,
what would you do instead of that?
Yeah, I do anything from like recipes. Mm-hmm. To fun facts, to tips about cooking fish. I mean, that sounds silly, but that's what people love.
You know what's great? Have you seen? Okay, so for those of you that don't know, and around our office, there is a little Tex-Mex place called Serrano's.
Oh, yeah.
And their Instagram is actually really great. I've seen some of their ads. And have you seen their ads? They have like one where it shows them plating the food.
That's awesome.
And like, it was just like, man, you are a small like family business. Yeah. But you're rocking it. It makes me want to go to Serrano's more often.
Exactly. And that's a great point. Yeah. If you have a restaurant, show kind of the behind the scenes or show the plating or show how you make a margarita.
Yeah.
Give your secrets away. It just makes people trust you and you can build that loyal fan base instead of just being, hey, look at me. Another sale.
Yeah.
Like, go to, you know, buy this. Create value for your audience and the sales will come.
Hmm. That's a big quote. So I talked
to put it on a quote.
Yeah, you should. Actually, you really should. You should. We talk a lot about how you've grown Instagram, but I'd love to hear about where you've seen growth as well since you got here.
I'm trying to focus on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. I think we've definitely grown our engagement on LinkedIn. And the focus was posting more consistently and also posting videos, because videos, a lot of companies aren't posting videos on LinkedIn. So we've gotten a lot of engagement from those and been able to start conversations. So I think that is really something that we're honing in on and testing, and definitely want it to be a more of initiative moving forward is LinkedIn, because we're targeting small business owners and entrepreneurs and marketers.
Yeah.
They're on LinkedIn.
They're there.
It's all a matter of, we're testing right now, posting videos mainly, but also our articles, quotes do really well on LinkedIn. And Marcus Murphy, who is our LinkedIn expert, he's got access to LinkedIn Live, which is new and hasn't launched to brands yet, but that's definitely coming. And he's been testing it and seeing great results. So I think LinkedIn's really an opportunity if you're in our kind of field where you're targeting marketers, agencies, or entrepreneurs, or CEOs, CFOs,
anybody that has a job.
Yes. But I've definitely seen our Facebook page, as far as, we don't run like ads or anything, but as far as engagement, I've seen growth on Facebook as well, implementing more of a video first strategy, as well as providing that value to the audience.
Yeah.
And our videos look so great.
Yeah, I mean,
that makes a big difference, to be honest. Like, I've looked in the past at when we first started Facebook, and you can tell a huge difference.
Yeah, so huge. I'd love to know what the process looks like for you posting. Like, are you largely working in a silo kind of on your own, or how do you align with some of our like acquisition efforts or even content marketing? Like, obviously you're on the content marketing team under the acquisition like umbrella under marketing. I know you don't work in a silo, but I'd love for you to explain kind of how our process works.
Oh yeah, for sure. And we really are starting to hone in on that process. When I first started, it was maybe a little bit of a silo. It was just me and our graphic designer, Kayla, mm-hmm. just testing some things. Yeah. Let's try this quote image. Let's try pictures of books. Let's give that a go. And it wasn't like super aligned to our content. It was somewhat aligned to our content, but not really to our promotion.
It was more like we posted a new piece of content, or like we published a new blog post. Let's post our content. And that was like, there's the alignment.
Yeah, that was the alignment. But I wouldn't even know like what posts were being published. It would be kind of like a reactionary thing instead of planning ahead. Be like, oh, we published this blog on Monday. Okay, let's see how we can use it, you know, the following week on Instagram. Whereas now we have an editorial calendar. And Becky, who I know is going to be on the podcast too, she has done a tremendous job of really thinking social too with mm-hmm. her content as well as search. It's a lot of social friendly content that we're publishing. So I now have that editorial calendar and I can see like what's coming up weeks ahead mm-hmm. and then plan around that. And then promotions, Matt Sheeler, promotions manager.
Mm-hmm. He'll also
I don't know if that is his title.
I'm getting all of you.
But we actually have a monthly meeting with him. Mm-hmm. So our little acquisitions team and the promotions team, which is just him, he kind of goes over the calendar with us. And I am able to brainstorm and plan out content that can also be aligned with promotions.
Yeah.
So, for example, we just had this Blog Builder Jumpstart Pack sale. So it was a brand new product that we had on sale. So I was able to plan out, okay, we can do a quiz, a blog stat quiz that goes directly to that page.
I took that quiz.
Awesome. How'd you do?
I did okay. Yeah.
So we were able to do that on Instagram. So that's one way we aligned. Mm-hmm. We also had these videos of Amanda Powell, our director of marketing, talking about content for the Jumpstart Pack. And Matt Douglas, who is our content manager in charge of product, was like, hey, we have these videos of Amanda that we have in the Jumpstart Pack. Can you use these for social? And I was like, oh, heck yes. Thank you. Yeah. So Aisha, one of our video people, I was like, hey, let's put some captions on these. Uh-huh. And we created an IGTV video or several IGTV videos for it. And so that's how we're aligned. So it's not, we did do a quiz, the blog quiz to the sale page, but the rest of the content is like just giving people value and then kind of being like, hey, do you want more information? Check out the comments, that type of thing, where you're not like sale, sale, sale. But it was also like a $20 thing. So I did not feel bad about pushing people to that.
Yeah.
Because we've already given them so much value. They trust you and they know, okay, this product is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I have the editorial calendar and I work with Becky and Amanda on that side of it. So that's the blog content that's going out. And how we can create videos for it or tip images or quotes, anything like that. And then once a month, meet with the promotions department, which is the one person, and go over the calendar and see where there's opportunities. And a lot of times you'll find, oh, yeah, we already have videos about that because like we have Ryan Levesque was here for a workshop and that's going to be a sale. Mm-hmm. Well, we filmed social videos with Ryan Levesque when he was here preparing for the workshop. So, hey, we got those already. So a lot of times we already have the content. The assets.
Yeah, you got everything you need.
And that's one thing that we do. And I would encourage if you ever have like experts come in, set aside some time to maybe film some social videos or even just get some quotes from them or anything that you can use. Because people love to see and hear from different voices and different experts. And people have had different experiences than just you talking to them all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'd love to do right now is talk about the title social media manager and talk about all the things a lot of business owners and managers may decide it means and then also all the things that maybe it should only mean to keep the social strategy very focused.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts and opinions on that?
Yeah. So I think to me, a social media manager is in charge of making sure you get brand awareness on the social platforms that matter for the business,
mm-hmm.
grow that awareness, build a loyal audience on social, and make sure everything is aligned across all channels and aligned with your business goals on social.
Mm-hmm.
That's very broad. I think a lot of companies think that social media manager is also a part of maybe the customer service team,
mm-hmm.
or they're a community manager. I think that's completely different. Like we have Justina as our community manager, mm-hmm. and she is focused solely on our groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a key difference. Like the groups are very tight knit, very focused. The conversation started by the group members.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you have a Facebook page with thousands of people, you're trying to appeal to a broader audience mm-hmm. and bring more people into that audience.
Yeah.
It's not an exclusive club.
Right.
If that makes sense. So they try to put like a social media manager as you're going to be in charge of our groups.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in charge of posting on all social channels. You're going to be in charge of making the graphics and videos using something like Canva, for instance. Mm-hmm. And you're also going to answer any complaints or questions on Twitter or Facebook Messenger, wherever that is. There's no way for one person to do that and to have a very focused strategy and be able to implement that strategy.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not enough time in the day. If you have like, you know, a service-oriented brand and your social media manager is answering customer complaints and doing everything else, I don't see how the actual social media channels are going to be very aligned with your brand.
Yeah.
Be able to actually bring in people and kind of build that audience either. Because mm-hmm. it's just not, your focus is on too many different things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think the community manager and the social media manager are completely different.
Mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, success and support channels that are maybe directly connected to the social media manager, or, you know, they're already completing some kind of social listening.
Yes.
But that can be, you know, that can feel like a very big team to someone who maybe is only a couple of people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So basically being aligned with customer success, if you have a really small team, it's just kind of you and a few other people, get aligned with customer success and just make sure that they're open to being able to answer your questions. Mm-hmm. So we get a lot of messages in Facebook Messenger that I answer for the most part. If I can't, then I have someone I can go to and be like, hey, this person's reaching out. They didn't get their login or mm-hmm. what have you, and get help there. But we also, we have a bunch of saved replies in Messenger, mm-hmm. and these are the most common questions. So if you're the social media manager and you're also in charge of answering any questions in like Facebook Messenger, for instance, create some saved replies. Take some time to see what the majority of people are asking,
mm-hmm.
and you can create saved replies around that. And that's just like a huge time saver, because people are generally, for us, asking kind of the same five questions. They think we're a marketing agency, so they're asking to hire us for their services. They are wondering about our membership levels.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all saved replies for that. So that's been hugely helpful.
Yeah.
We don't really get a ton of questions or complaints publicly. Mm-hmm. So like on Twitter, for instance. So that's really been a great help to me. We do occasionally get those, and that's when I'll be able to pass that message along to someone
on
the customer success team.
So kind of even if it is, you know, even if you do only have the bandwidth or the resources for one person, it can still maybe be the same person. You're just creating different channels and rerouting them.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so that eventually maybe you can build out those pathways. You're basically creating grooves, you know.
And, yes.
And then helping those.
And I will say, like, a lot of businesses' mistakes, and they'll be featured in articles about these mistakes, is like getting in the public discourse with people who are unhappy. You see that with airlines a lot. And so I'd say number one thing, well, first of all, you know, apologize. They just want to be heard, but try to get them to a direct message conversation as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Don't go back and forth on Twitter with them. Like, people seem to be grumpy on Twitter. So just try to get them to a direct message conversation.
Yeah. Well, I do have like a little quiz game I want to play with you. But before we get into that, I want to talk about your favorite, not platform, but favorite like place to post within a platform, and then your least favorite platform. And I know what both of those are. So let's, for fun, talk about your least favorite platform.
My least favorite platform is Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I think in previous office hours, I kind of like the April Fool's office hours. I was talking about my hatred for Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. So I am big into the fantasy sports. So I actually love Twitter myself. I don't tweet personally, but I love kind of the up-to-date, you can get latest on injury news. And there's some great follows on Twitter. Like Ryan Reynolds is awesome. There's this guy, Shay Serrano. He's a writer for The Ringer. And he's just like, I have to like check his Twitter every day. He's amazing at it. So people can really nail Twitter. But it seems to me, it's like people can nail Twitter.
People.
Brands are having a tough time. It used to be kind of a traffic driver, but we see the least amount of traffic from Twitter. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like my lowest priority.
Yeah.
We tweet every day, so still follow us. But we just don't see the engagement. And we've tried different things. I've been posting more videos and even like quote images. And we just don't see the engagement on it. And I don't think it's really doing that much for our brand. So I'm not willing to spend so much time on it.
Right.
So I think it's useful for any like news type of thing.
Anything you have to stay up to date
on. Exactly.
Or anything that's like a personal public figure type of brand where you're like a thought leader.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. But it seems like, is there a difference between the amount of followers Ryan has versus digital marketer?
I think they're pretty close, but we have more. But Ryan, as a public figure, it's like an awesome platform for him to be on, I think.
Yeah.
We try, like, he's going to be on a webinar or at the Drift conference or whatever like that. We definitely tweet out that type of stuff.
Yeah. But once again, those are like events the minute.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we just haven't seen the growth from Twitter. So it's kind of been put on the back burner a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, we still tweet every day. It's never going to be like a dead account because we have enough followers to make it worthwhile to at least put some effort into it. But definitely, as far as posting, least favorite, Instagram is my favorite. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably pretty clear. So I love Instagram is so positive, and this may not be the case for everybody. There's been some negativity around Instagram, like the influencer stuff and body image stuff and things like that. So there's definitely issues with it. But as far as a business and our audience, it's been great for us because we're putting out, I think, valuable content, inspirational content directed to our audience, and people are really appreciative.
Yeah.
Like literally one of our top performing posts, and we've done several of them, it's like just a white graphic. It's like four resources for getting curated content. And these are actually resources that I use to share articles on Facebook. So I was like, hey, this has been valuable to me. Let's put it on a graphic. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. And it gets like crazy. We posted one not too long ago and it got like 1,500 likes, but 80 comments. Mm-hmm. So I'm really focused on the comments and starting conversations, but 80 comments is really good.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, and it's a simple graphic. So I think like we try not to overcomplicate things, but definitely Instagram posting on the feed, but I think stories are the big opportunity.
Yeah, where
for it's brands. At. Yeah, so we post stories every day and trying to experiment more with stories because the first several months or even like literally 8 10 months I was here, it was kind of the same type of stories. Mm-hmm. We had a new blog.
Right.
Create a story. Drive traffic to that blog. Because we have, you get the magical 10,000 followers. You can do the swipe up to your mm-hmm. blog or whatever piece of content. So kind of just, we were seeing results from that. But it's like, we need to change it up. We started to see a little less traffic from stories. So that's when we started the quizzes. And those have worked really well for us. So we do a lot of like, what is content marketing or content marketing trends? So I was like, well, Instagram has this new quiz sticker. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. So now we try to do quizzes every week that are related to our blog or even a sale. Like we had the blog builder jumpstart pack. Well, let's do a blog quiz mm-hmm. that then drives people to that. So we do it a lot for our blog content, though. So that's been a huge win for us. And there's also so many experiments that I still want to do, stories, so much to do. They keep on adding more stickers to you. You can do polls. So the poll sticker, be a little careful with that one. I made a mistake with that one time when I got myself into... situation.
Oh no.
It was just like, are you interested to learn more about LinkedIn? That's not exactly what it was. Yes or no. And so the idea was that they voted yes, then I DM'd them a resource. But I was realizing when I was doing that, I couldn't keep track of who I was DMing.
Oh no.
So I DM people, I've DM multiple people the same resource, and I go back and delete the duplicate message. So it's one of those things, you're going to make mistakes. But don't be afraid. You learn from them. But polls are a great thing to do behind the scenes. We're trying to do more of those. We have host workshops and things like that. There's a lot you can do. But stories are definitely the focus. There's Instagram's kind of running out of room on the feed a little bit. Mm-hmm. So your content may get lost. And as they're selling more ads too. So I think stories are a huge opportunity.
I'd say even just as a user, because the first thing I look at is my stories, because they're just right up there.
Yeah, and there's
they're
a ring glowing. Around it. You it's see like, that? Yeah, you see
you're
that
like,
ring?
Oh, there's stuff. And so I go through all my stories first, and then I forget to go through the feed because I have so many stories to go through.
Yeah. And I find like as a user, definitely the kind of exclusive behind the scenes content.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is awesome.
Because it's going to go away.
Yeah. So that's definitely something that I want to ramp up. So kind of things may be working, but don't just rest on that and be like, okay, I'm just going to do the same type of stories or the same type of posts continuously. Change it up. Look at the stickers that are available to you. Maybe even use the poll sticker. And there's a question sticker too, which I want to try some more, where you can like ask a question like, what is your biggest marketing challenge or something like that? Mm-hmm. And then if they answer, you can compile those questions and they have maybe an expert do a live story answering those questions.
Yeah,
that's just one idea that I definitely want to try.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
So we should do that.
There's, yeah, I know. I'm going to do it. I want Ryan to do like questions about the customer journey because people like love the customer journey.
Yeah.
And he talks about the customer journey.
Yeah.
And I think another opportunity that we've been recently testing that has really worked is IGTV.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this will probably necessarily work for every brand, but if you have, if you have experts in your office or that come in, or you're kind of appealing to a marketing audience, or
even just any kind of demonstration, like Bon Appetit.
Makeup, yeah. If you're like a makeup brand, if you own a restaurant, there's plenty of opportunity. If you like show people something using IGTV or talk about something that's relevant to them.
Yeah, I've literally watched videos of people cleaning rugs.
Yes.
Have you seen those?
Yes.
It's because they're so satisfying.
I don't know, it's cathartic or something. So I think IGTV could be an opportunity for a lot of brands and different. If you have anything that demonstrates something, teaches something, tutorials, that's an opportunity for sure. So we just started with that, and those have been like our most viewed videos on Instagram or the IGTV
ones. Well, I want to play a little game. So basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a platform or like a space within that platform. And what I'd like for you to do is give me like three words to describe the best kind of content for that platform.
Okay.
More like maybe the type of audience. So, you know, I think you'll get it as we go along.
Okay.
Okay. We'll keep it easy. So the first one is your Facebook page.
Your Facebook page. Video.
Okay.
And shoot for 3+ minutes. They've changed it to where it used to be shorter videos. Mm-hmm. Now they want longer videos. So they want people to stay on the platform.
Okay.
So video. Outside content that's relevant to your audience that builds trust and gets a great engagement as well. And older audience.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah. Your mom and dad and business professionals. And
yeah. They're all over it.
They're all over it. I think that's why they like the videos, like the AMAs type of videos or the workshop type of videos.
Yeah.
They're not flashy. But I think they're an older audience that they find value from it.
Hmm. Okay. Let's do Instagram feed.
Quotes, tip images, and marketers and people trying to start businesses.
Okay.
And I could go on like quote, tip images, book images, tip videos. Yeah, there's all. But I would say simple graphics with like a pop of color.
Yeah.
Make it easy to read.
Okay. Twitter.
Oh, Twitter. Twitter. Breaking news, if you're a news resource. Breaking news, events, like conferences, and live tweeting at conferences.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, that's actually what like has been parties. Successful is being at a conference with that specific hashtag, and you get updates. You can get behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People are following that hashtag and engaging with it.
Yeah. Anything trending?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly
trending.
LinkedIn.
Not necessarily older, but a professional audience.
Mm-hmm.
People that are looking to grow their business or find a new career, anything like that. Very professional. Videos and quote images that are appeal to business or marketers or entrepreneur life.
Okay. Reddit.
People who are asking, searching for questions. So think of it as kind of like a search engine. How can you answer their questions? Mm-hmm. And usually kind of more tactical advice.
Mm-hmm.
I think the audience is probably still on the younger side.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't use Reddit yet, but it's something that I want to look into.
Yeah.
But I think you can see what people are searching on Reddit. And you can create content around that.
Yeah, I like that. YouTube.
So YouTube, I would say definitely influencers. So if you are an expert in your space, you already have a following on social, YouTube could be a great avenue for that.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely influencers. If you have the ad budget, I know we're testing some YouTube ads with success. So you might look into that avenue. And the audience... It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. We get some weird comments on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you're looking to create content for YouTube, like, how-tos.
Yeah.
People, like, you think of it as, like, a search engine, like, how to do Facebook ads or something like that. So if it's, like, you have a restaurant or something, like, two recipe videos.
Yeah.
How to create strawberry shortcake. I don't know.
I'd watch that. Okay. Well, the quiz is over.
Thank you.
You passed. Yeah. Well, you know, we're kind of getting to the end of the hour. Where can people find us and you?
Yeah. So basically we're at Digital Marketer on all channels. Twitter is Digital MKTR.
Mm.
Yeah, so Digital Marketer on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn. Look us up. We have a YouTube channel. Yeah, so follow us all there. And I'm kind of like the weird person I dive into all the strategy and look at all these brands, but I'm like not super active on social as a person.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
It's kind of like, you know, when you get home, that's like not the thing you want to do.
Yeah, I have like an Instagram account. That has a super lame name. I think it's just Shannon D 1082. And that like name has followed me everywhere. And I can't remember what I created it for. But it's like everything is Shannon D 1082. And originally I created the Instagram account. It was going to be like my ode to my cat Calvin, basically. It was all pictures of him. And then he passed away and now it's kind of a little bit dormant. But I have a new kitty that I'll start. He's super cute, but he doesn't take good pictures. Aww. And I'm like, come on.
How can a cat not be photogenic?
So his problem is the camera delay gets him. Mm. Well, he's all one color. He's all black. And our furniture is black. And he blends in. Oh, you can see these eyes.
Yeah.
But I try. He looks, has these great poses. And I'm like trying to take a picture of him. And he moves his head.
Oh, no.
Or something. And I'm like,
he's just a wiggle worm. Nothing.
But Calvin used to pose. And he would just sit there. So follow us on all our channels. Digital Marketer. Myself, you're not going to get anything great from that. As I said, I have a Twitter account too, but I just follow fantasy sports
people. Yeah, so if you're into fantasy sports.
Yeah, I tweet about fantasy sports occasionally.
Cool. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for this conversation. I want to have you back to talk about each platform, but I figured this first one is just let's just get into the overview. Yeah. Cool. That thank you everyone for joining us. We'll see you here again, same time, same place. Bye.
Bye.
1 listeners, if you're running a Black Friday or Cyber Monday special, listen up. Because Digital Marketer just released our Canva Holiday Promo Pack. It includes almost 200 templates that you can use to make the graphics for all your upcoming holiday specials and 3 unique design themes for each holiday. The promo pack is usually $27, but you can get it today for free. Check the show notes for the link to download, or you can go directly to digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates. That's digitalmarketer.com/LP/holiday templates.